Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
I want to read this to you. It's from Psalm 61. It's where I started my journey back into walking with Jesus with this book in my hands almost every single day. And it started with this. It was a week after the heart event that went through on July 5th or 6th, whatever it was. First words that came out of my mouth as I read, "Hey, my friend Dennis, these are the brothers, the brothers, ukulele brothers right here." It's Dennis. Say hi, Dennis.
Hello, everybody. Good to be here.
And his brother-in-law, Ed.
Yeah, great to be here.
And these brothers actually get along, and these brothers build amazing ukuleles. Yeah, ukuleles. So, and listen to this. First words out of my mouth that day. This was a week afterwards on the 13th. "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you. When my heart is faint or overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge." I love the fact that in the first verse that I was reading, refuge was in there. Refuge is a good word. It'd be a great name for a church, I'm just saying. "You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." And Father God, we thank you that this tent, this parking lot is full of stories of redemption, full of stories of salvation and rescue, Lord. Where you heard our cry when our hearts were overwhelmed. And you're going to hear the cry of men here today, Father, looking up to you, crying out to you for hope. And for a hope that is alive, Lord God, for a hope that's based in Jesus. So God, prepare our hearts for that as we prepare our hearts for the word of God. I thank you for Tommy, Lord. I pray you'd bless him as he comes to deliver what we need to hear today. And thank you for our brothers that are with him here from Hope Alive in Santa Ana. So Father, we just commit this time to you, and we're just thrilled to be together as brothers outside in the open along the highways and the byways of our city. So, Father, meet us here in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Amen. Tommy Cota from Hope Alive. Tommy, where are you? You're right there, bro. Go for it. Take it.
All right. Man, God bless you guys. Right on. So, yeah, driving up, I was like, man, this is cool. Got the old school tent right here. And first thing that came to my mind was, oh, man, that reminds me of the Circus Vargas. Right? Yeah. How many of you guys remember that, right? Circus Vargas tent, yeah. But we ain't clowns up in here, right? Soldiers for Jesus, right? Amen? Man, guys, what a blessing to see all the men that's out here today and just to receive from the Lord. You know, there's a Bible verse that I was thinking of out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. And I was actually thinking about this last week. And this is what it says. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. That men should lift holy hands and pray. And to be in this environment, to be with all you men right now, man, and just to hear us worship the Lord, it's a blessing. How many of you guys were blessed with our praise and worship here today? You know, it's awesome. You know, and this is what it's all about. And I got to tell you guys, you know, it's only been about a week, really, that our church, Hope Alive Church, has had the opportunity to gather in person and have some fellowship in person type of fellowship, right? And to be here today with you guys, this is awesome. So, I'll promise by 4 o'clock, we're going to be done today. You guys will be home and all that stuff. I just got to get my feed, my feel right here as a pastor and a preacher to just be with actual people, because I've been just preaching to a camera, you know, and which is good. You know, it's a time of stretching, right? And I think this is, you know, this season right now that God has us all in, right? It's a time of stretching our faith, right? And sometimes when our faith gets stretched, we don't like it. right? And we want to complain and criticize and all this other stuff. But you know, I just been asking God, help me not to criticize, help me not to complain. Because it's, man, how many guys find it very easy to complain and criticize, right? It's easy. It's real easy to do that, point at things like, you know, hey, I don't like this or whatever. But, you know, I've been, Lord, help me not to criticize or complain. Help me to be about your business. You know, God obviously is wanting to do something good in the hearts and lives of his people. And to see you men here today, this is an encouraging time, you know, for me. Let's open up our Bibles, but first let's pray. Yeah, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would speak to us. I pray, God, that our hearts would be humbled before you, Lord. I pray, God, that we would desire to hear your voice and that we would resonate in your truth and in your presence and in your spirit, Lord, that we would be built up as men, that Lord, that we would, Lord, just as men everywhere, lift our hands, Lord, our holy hands, Lord, in praise and in prayer, Lord, and that our hands would be used to be about your business, that we would hold a tight grip, Lord, to your plow. And so, Father, may we just hear from you this morning, God. We love you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, man, God bless you. Let's open up our Bibles here to the Gospel of John in chapter number 15. And we're just going to look at the first five verses. We're not going to go through the whole chapter. The whole chapter, I'm sure that many of you are very familiar with this chapter. It's about abiding, staying connected, right? The connection. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about, the connection. Don't raise your hands. No, we're talking about Jesus. You know, back in the days before Jesus, you know, there was when I heard the connection, I was like, okay, my mind went somewhere else. But now in Jesus, my connection is the Lord. It is him. And I remember, you know, when I first got saved, I was encouraged. You know, I didn't know where to read in the Bible. I didn't know where to start. And so I would ask questions, where should I start reading in the Bible? And I was told, well, read the Gospel of John, chapter number 15, you know, and it just, you know, obviously, you know, this is where it talks about abiding. And I was encouraged here because as a very young Christian, I was encouraged to stay close to Jesus. That's what I read. That's how I heard this as I read this personally, the importance of staying close to Jesus. And you know, that importance of staying close to Jesus, it never stops. It's not only important when you first get saved. Remember, how many guys can remember when you first got saved? See, for some of us, it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. For some of us, it was 2 years ago. For some, maybe just 2 weeks ago or a couple days ago. Praise the Lord for that. But there's something important of always just staying close to the Lord. You know, when Jesus called his disciples and he said to follow me, right? And even when Jesus, when he points out and in the Gospel of Luke, and I believe it's in chapter number, at the end of chapter number 9, and he says to people, hey, follow me, right? And the whole scenario where people, well, I got to go first, bury my dad, you know, I got to go and do this first, you know? But when Jesus says, follow me, the idea there is to follow closely, you know? And he didn't say, hey, follow me on Instagram, you know, follow me on Twitter or something like that. Follow me on Facebook. He's saying, follow me close. The idea is follow closely, to be in step with Jesus. And I've shared this a couple of times with our church, is when Jesus says those things of follow me, it's the idea is to be in step with. Remember, like when you're going to a picnic, a family picnic or something, and you have that three-legged race with the potato sack, right? And you put the, you know, one leg in and you have you know, your partner, and you have to be in unison, right? And when you're in unison and you're walking together, you're going to go forward, maybe not fast or something like that, right? But if you're not, you're going to fall on the ground, right? Well, the whole idea, guys, when Jesus says, follow me, or stay close to Jesus, is to be in step with the Lord. To be in step. And here in the Gospel of John in chapter number 15, you know, here's where I really believe we get this idea of, from Jesus himself, of how important it is to be connected, abiding, staying close, in step with the Lord. So let's take a look at this again. I'm going to read the first five verses here. And this is Jesus speaking. He says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Notice he says he prunes, right? So that it may bear more fruit. Already, verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you. You can't do nothing, really, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nada. That means nothing, right? That's the little bit of Spanish that I know. You can do nothing apart from Jesus. You guys, the importance of staying close, the importance of staying connected. And so here, guys, in verses 1 through 3, we actually see this idea of the vine and branch. This picture is of a constant connection. A constant connection to Jesus. Or in other words, really, a dependence. How many guys can hear us can say, man, I depend on Jesus. Man, guys, listen, and I'll be the first one to tell you, as men, you know, sometimes we have this thing to where, I got it. Leave me alone. I can do this, right? I can do this. Let me do this. Don't worry about it. The other day, I woke up in the morning and there was a puddle under our dishwasher, right? And I was like, oh, man. And so I was like, my wife has been asking for a long time, we should get a new dishwasher. I'm like, why? This one works. It's from 1978. You know, it's got those dials, you know, and all that stuff out on the front. Anyways, like, it works, you know. And so anyways, it finally gave out, right? And so, guys, so I'm not the handyman that I think I am. I'm just saying, right? And so I wanted to surprise my wife. She went off to work, and so I pull it out, right? And I look, I said, this can't be that hard. And it really isn't that hard. It really isn't, right? And so I go to Best Buy, get this deal. I put the other one in there. And man, and in between, I'm taking phone calls. I'm trying to hurry up, right? And from my toolbox, I got a pair of pliers, duct tape, and a screwdriver. That's about it, right? And so anyways, I get everything assembled, and I put it back in. And then out of the front, the one of the little brass fittings, it was leaking, right? And so I had to turn it all off and I pull it out, you know, because I didn't want to get all underneath. And so anyways, guys, long story short, I finally got it done after about 6 hours. Yeah, it should have took me about 30 minutes, right? But it took me like 6 hours, man. And I was so frustrated, right? And here's the thing is that my wife comes home and she sees this look on my face. She's like, what are you trying to do? I go, and she's like, okay. And she's like, did you pray? And I looked at her. I was like, well, kind of, yeah. You know, I just went to the store. I was like, Lord, you know, just help me, whatever, right? And she goes, you know what? Let's stop. Let me pray for you. Let's pray. And so she prayed, right? And I was, and then the prayer, at the end of the prayer, I was just like, Jesus, take the wheel, because man, this is freaking me out. You know, I don't know why this thing keeps on leaking right here. And so she prayed and I just took those brass fittings off again, like for the third time. And I made sure that it was all secure. I didn't want to break nothing. So anyways, I put it back in and turned it on and it didn't leak. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. And you see, and my wife, she told me, she's like, you should have prayed when you first started. I'm like, I know, huh? Right? Listen, guys, the reason I wanted to share this is because I want to, next time I buy an appliance, I need to call you. I'm just teasing. No. The reason I wanted to share this is, guys, because we need a constant dependence upon Jesus. Even in the simplest of things, right? The things that we might think of, oh man, that's not a big deal. No, we need a constant dependence. And so here, this whole abiding, Jesus, the vine, and we, the branches, it also speaks of this cultivation and this care that takes place, because as he says that, you know, his Father, or God the Father, he is the vine dresser, right? And so as the vine dresser, that means he's the one that does this cultivation and the care for us, because we are the branches. See, guys, when we're saved, when we get saved, things begin to change. Amen? And they begin to change in a good way. And, you know, life, you know, better is one day. Amen. Better is one day in the courts of the Lord, right? Better is one day in his presence. And I love that song because it just reminds me that the song doesn't go, hey, easier is one day, better is one day. And so it's not that life gets easier as a Christian, right? It gets better. It gets better. Our life gets better. It's not easier, but it is better. And in this relationship, things change in our thought process and how we think, right? Because there's the Bible tells us that there's a renewing of the mind. And I hope and pray that you all, that us, all of us as men are allowing the Holy Spirit to renew our mind and restore us. And our thought process begins to change of, you know, God, I want to bring glory to you. I want to honor you in and through my life in everything that I do. You see, and part of this process that the Lord does in our hearts is the pruning. How many of you guys like the pruning that happens in your life? See, oh man, it's hard. It's hard, the pruning. You know, when I think of pruning, I think of cut back, right? You're just cutting things back. You know, it's an agricultural thing. And there's a purpose behind it for more fruit to be produced, right? But in the process of pruning, there is cutbacks. It's to clean up, right? So for the purpose of being more fruitful. You know, these past several months, I think that's really what the Lord is wanting to do within his people, within the church, is that there's a cutback. He wants to prune things, right? Shake things up. And you know, also with the pruning, right, when agricultural things and all that stuff and trees, you go to prune a tree, you know, and you see like these gardeners or tree trimmers, and they go and they cut back, they prune a tree. You know what happens is now that tree, after it gets pruned, now it's exposed, right? You can see things, right? And let me tell you something. Listen, when God wants to cut back in your life, in my life, and our lives as men, oftentimes the purpose is, you know, the purpose is there's a lot of things that are holding us back. There's a lot of things that's not allowing us to be fruitful as we can be, but it also exposes. And God doesn't want to expose, to put you to shame, to call you out, to throw you out there on Front Street. Like, look at this, you know, look at this dude right here, right? God wants to expose things to ourselves. Search my heart, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Do we pray that as men? Lord, search my heart. As men, guys, we need that kind of prayer. As men, we need to be exposed really to our own selves, you know, in the light of the power and work of the Spirit of God. I love it when Isaiah in chapter number 6, you know, he sees the Lord high and lifted up, the Bible tells us, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory. He sees the seraphim angels, holy, 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 and everything's just thundering and shaking. It's holy, it's majestic. And then Isaiah says, woe is me. You see, he was exposed. You know, when he was exposed in the light of the holiness of God, he saw himself the way that God saw him. And Isaiah confessed, he repented, and he was also cleansed because the angels came down and touched his lips with the coal that was taken from the altar. You see, it's important, guys, that we allow God, the Holy Spirit, to prune us back, that we wouldn't run from it. Because there's probably things, there may be things in your life that you really don't want to be exposed, even to your own self. And we run from it. Don't run from the pruning process, because the pruning process, it is good, even though it's not comfortable, even though it's not fun. Like I said, these past several months, it hasn't been comfortable. It's kind of like, man, what's going on? Why do we all this drama, all this stuff, having to do church and do life and people not working no more, people getting sick, literally. You know, a lot of people are saying, oh man, this coronavirus, you know, it's this or that, it's political, it may be so, whatever. But I will tell you this, that there are people that are genuinely getting sick. You know, and it's like, what is God doing? You know, throwing a wrench. There's a wrench in our program, it seems, right? And guys, it's not so much that, you know, there's a wrench in things, but really I believe God is saying, hey, listen, I want you to depend on me more. I want you to understand how important it is to stay connected, because the more that you understand that, the more you allow the cutbacks, the more that you allow the pruning in life, there's going to be more fruit. See, this pruning that God does in his people, it should encourage us that God cares enough about us to cause our lives to grow. That's how much God cares about us, that he wants our lives to grow. And just like a vine dresser, just like in the whole agricultural field, for something to be fruitful, God knows, or that gardener knows that it needs to be cut back so that more fruit, juicier fruit, right? Sweeter fruit would grow, right? And again, as I said, it's not always fun, but it reveals this pruning process. It reveals, you know, our flesh and those things that needs to be dealt with, all the worldliness that may be in us. God wants to cut all those back. And again, the purpose of the pruning, guys, is to strengthen our faith and to build our character. Strengthen our faith and to build our character. So submit to that. Submit to the working of God's Holy Spirit. In Ephesians in chapter 5, Paul says that we submit to one another. And there can be no submitting if there's no filling of the Holy Spirit. So we need the power of God's Holy Spirit. And this whole cleansing or this pruning process, guys, is done with the shears, with those big giant scissors of God's word oftentimes. It's God's word that cleanses us. Even the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse number 9, you know, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. That is how we can cleanse our way. By taking heed. So the importance, guys, of you and I, of all of us as men, to have a dependence upon the Word of God, to have a dependence on the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and staying connected closely, being in step with Him, because that's when God will cause our lives to be fruitful. And if there's worldliness, if there's things of the flesh, of the carnality that we tend to behave in, well, God will cut those things back when we're in His Word. His Word corrects us. I love it how God's Word just corrects us. And because He said, and He says it right here in verse number 3, you are already clean because of the Word that I have spoken to you. God's Word, it is so important for us to stay in His Word. And look at verse 4. He just says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in me, and neither can you unless you abide in me. So here's the second point. This is not a one-sided relationship. This is, you know, we need to be in Christ as Christ is in us, right? God can be in your life, but are you in God's life? You know, are you in God's purposes? See, because it says it right there, right? Verse number 4, abide in me and I in you. It's a two-way street in a sense. Abiding is a personal desire, guys, for us. It's a personal desire that we should have and want in our hearts. God doesn't make us. Isn't that a blessing? That God doesn't force us to do things. Right? He doesn't twist our arms. Abide in me. Okay, uncle, or okay, Jesus, right? I'll do it. He doesn't twist our arms or anything like that. This is a willful desire. It's a personal desire. And I hope and pray that we as men, guys, I got to tell you, man, it's so awesome to see the men out here today. It is. And I know that there's probably many more men that desire to be here, but for whatever reason, they can't, right? Or maybe there's men that
had an opportunity to be here, but they chose not to because there was no desire to be here. You see, and that's what I'm talking about, guys. The desire. See, and when we have, as men, when we have that desire of abiding and staying close and staying connected, guys, then that's when the Lord will give you the fruitfulness. He will give you then, you know, the wisdom and the strength to then lead, really lead your families, lead your home, however big your family is, to lead your wife if you're married, to lead your single life if you're a single man. God will then give you the wisdom and the strength and the desire to do that. You see, you guys, and it's on us. Really, it's on us. What a blessing that God, in his word, the order that God has laid things out, that we get to lead as men. And it's not a thing where we lead, you know, with an iron fist and we force our families and, you know, all this, you know, it's not like that. We get to lovingly lead as Jesus has set an example for us to lovingly lead, right? He led with grace, right? He knew that there was going to be mistakes. He knew all these things, right? And yet he was gentle. Yet he was kind, right? And he went out into the highways and byways and he set an example for his disciples. And he set an example for us that we should lead. And the example also that Jesus has laid out for us is his dependence upon prayer, upon hearing and staying connected to the Father. How often do we read in the Gospels of Jesus getting up early in the morning and going, you know, just separating himself with a distance from his disciples, and he would pray. And he even did it there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the day that he was, right when he was going to be arrested. And he's there and he took Peter, James, and John, and he's asking, hey guys, just pray with me. Just pray. Pray. And Jesus there, he's praying and he's under this great stress and he begins to even sweat with blood drops. Stress. You know, and Peter, James, and John, they fleshed out because they fell asleep. They had a little flesh flash. How many guys have flesh flashes? Right? We all have from time to time, right? We have those flesh flashes. And here, you know, Jesus, he points out and he says to them, you know, even when they fell asleep, hey, he says, you know, can't you just stay awake for a little while? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, communicating in a sense that there's a dominance that our flesh wants to have in our lives. And that's where the battle lies, right? But when we are staying connected, guys, and when we are abiding faithfully and doing the best that we can, right? And it's not about works. Guys, it's not about works. It's about our dependence. It's about just simply submitting and allowing God, the Holy Spirit, to work in us and through us. And when we're doing that, you would find that, man, God, you're allowing me to lead my family, to lead my single life, to lead my children, my adult children, my grandkids, in a loving and graceful way, in the same way that you have, right? See, man, if you're not into knowing God in this way, or his grace, his love, his truth, you're going to miss out on the opportunity to be fruitful. You're going to miss out. And see, and I know I really feel as if you guys are all looking at me like, well, dude, we're here. We're in this. You know, I'm preaching to the choir, right? But so I want to encourage you to continue in this having this desire of knowing God. Continue in this desire of being close to Jesus, of being in step with him, of abiding in him, making that willful decision and having this personal desire to abide in Christ. And you will see that your life will begin to be more fruitful and it will grow. It'll be fruitful and it'll grow. See, one thing about fruit, man, you know, on trees or vines or grapes or anything like that, it's all these, those things, those fruit trees, the fruit, it just naturally produces. There's no strain. There's no agonizing. You know, we never see an orange tree agonizing over there. Like, man, that would trip us out, right? It's just like, you know, what's wrong with that tree? Like Wizard of Oz, those trees coming to life and all that stuff. It ain't have, you know, no. It just naturally produces, right? And through a process of time, that fruit, it ripens on the tree, and then you go and pick it, and it's nice and juicy and all that other stuff, right? And it's real, and it's refreshing. You see, and so that's what happens when we abide, when we as men abide in Christ, and when we're staying connected, we want to be in step with Him. There's this natural process of the fruit. It'll just happen. You won't even have to try to be fruitful. Isn't that cool? But just don't let nobody call you fruity. That's all I'm saying. Right? But that's the whole thing. You're not going to have to try. You're not going to have to strain. You're not going to have to agonize. Why? And your wife, you know, your family, your friends, and the people you work with, they'll look, hey, man, you're different. The things, you're just, something's about you is different, and it's going to be natural. And all you got to do is just smile and say, man, it's all Jesus. It's because I'm abiding in Christ. That's it. You know, it's simple, right? And again, it's a simple like mindset, right? But it's not easy, but it is a better life, right? So it's about knowing God and being in His truth, because if we're not, guys, we are going to miss out on just the fruitfulness that God desires to produce out of us. And for some of us here, man, there's like a lot of fruit that God just wants to produce in our lives, but we must submit and yield and abide there in the vine. And look at verse number 5 here. It says this, Jesus, he's just reminding him, I am the vine. It's about me. I'm the vine, right? You are the branches. Whoever abides, I love that, whoever. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your economic status. It doesn't matter what language you speak. You know, it does not matter. Whoever, I love that. Whoever, you should circle that in your Bible right there. Whoever, you can put your name right there. Whoever abides in me and I in him, okay, there's that dual thing right there. You know, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So the plan for the Christian, the plan, the ultimate plan for the born-again believer, the person, the man of God that says, I believe in Jesus, is to be fruitful. To be fruitful, meaning a life with meaning and a life with purpose. A life with meaning and a life with purpose. You know, I get to talk to a lot of people, and a lot of men. You know, and sometimes, you know, just coming to the Lord, and you know, there's like always, and it, guys, listen, I'll tell you, man, it doesn't always stop. Sometimes there's seasons we go through in life where, you know, we take a step back and we kind of begin to, you know, at least for me, I step back and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's my purpose in this? What do I do? I don't know what to do. You know, and oftentimes when I find myself asking that question to the Lord, God is just telling me, he would just say, hey, just stay close. Stay connected to me. Don't worry. Don't trip out, right? Don't worry. Don't get all, you know, crazy. Just keep doing what you're doing. Stay close to me and it'll be revealed. The fruit will come, right? And so this whole idea of being fruitful is really realizing that God, the purpose and the plan is to have meaning and purpose in my life. See, like the purpose for fruit trees is to produce the fruit, like an orange tree, right? And it all comes out naturally, as I just mentioned. There's no struggle or no stress. And the same thing for us as Christian men. The same thing for us as Christian men is that we just don't stress, but we stay connected. Stay abiding. Christ in you and you in Christ, without any struggle and stress or effort, your life will then be fruitful. What kind of fruit? How big the fruit? How juicy the fruit? Man, that's really between you and the Lord. Right? It's between you and the Lord. A person that doesn't always abide, but wanting to bear fruit, right? And just kind of faking the funk, because it happens. It happens. They go to, you know, all the functions and all this other, you know, they know all the Christian lingo and everything. But hey, let me tell you something. That's not real fruit. That's just a prop, right? That's that fake fruit, right? Phony fruit. I remember my aunt. She lived in Norwalk, and on her little kitchen table, she would have like these bananas and grapes and, you know, little bowl with like, it looked like fruit, but that was fake fruit, right? And plastic bananas and those plastic grapes. And me and my brother, we would go and, you know, we would take those plastic grapes off and throw them at each other and then get in trouble for ruining her fake phony fruit right there, right? But here's the thing. You know, as Christians, and we have to really beware of this, guys, because it's easy to fall. It's easy to get into a place, you know, as a man of God and say, you know, man, I want my life to be fruitful, but I don't want to abide. I want to kind of do it my way. And then that fake and phony fruit, you know, and it just, you put on the mask, right? I'm not advocating right now. We got to put on our mask. If you want to put your mask on, that's fine. But you know what I'm saying? We put on a mask. We put on a front. And that's fake and that's phony. And the power, but here's the good thing, is that God, the Holy Spirit, and the grace and the mercy of God, He'll reveal that to you. But then it's up to you if you want to repent of that and confess of that and turn from that and say, I don't want to be a phony. I don't want phony fruit. I want real fruit. I want juicy fruit. I want this fruit that it'll remain, Jesus says. Right? And that's an unfortunate thing that in the church, you know, within God's people, there is that. There's phony fruit. And I hope and pray that God would convict us as a church, as a person, as people, as men, that we would repent from that and say, I don't want to be that phony person. I want to be the real deal. A man truly abiding is producing fruit naturally. And it just happens. And with this fruit that gets produced, right, there's a reproduction that also takes place, right, because of the seeds. And see there, your life then, you know, as you abide, has this meaning and has this purpose. And it's giving out, right? And there's more things grow because of it. Guys, listen, without Jesus, our efforts have no eternal value. Jesus says it right there at the end of verse number 5. Without me, you can do nothing. And the whole idea there is that does our life, so here it is, guys, I'm going to end with this question. You know, how is our life in the sense of being fruitful or having meaning and purpose for eternity? Is there an eternal purpose? Is there eternal value that is being produced out of our life? And that's a question that's between you and the Lord. And I hope and pray that you can say, you know what? Yes, there's a lot of areas here, here, and here. But there are some areas, and guys, we can't fake the funk. There's some areas of your life like there is of my life that, Lord, you need to continue to prune away, because this part right here, it keeps growing. You know, it's got like miracle grow on it, man. And it's like my flesh. Cut it back. Cut it back. Because that flesh part that grows, it'll choke out those areas that God wants to produce to be fruitful for eternal purposes and values. So if there is areas of your life, just ask the Lord, expose it. Lord, cut it back. Cut it back. And I don't want to complain when there's a cut back either. When you're cut, let it happen. Submit, yield. God right now there's a huge cutback, a pruning process perhaps that's taking place for the church of God, for His church, right? And it's really easy to complain about it as a pastor. You know, man, we got to be together. We got to worship here. We got to be indoors. We got to do this. And who are you to tell us? Hey, chill out, man. Maybe God's wanting to cut things back right here because he wants to reveal things in us. Or perhaps God's cutting back because, yeah, I want you to cut back because I want you to be more fruitful, to be out. To be out. Man, there's people walking by, driving by, and all this stuff. People are hearing the word. Praise the Lord. How many of you guys excited about that? Come on, right? It's like, just start looking at those good things. So, guys, are you abiding? Are you receiving all the nourishment that Jesus offers you in your life to be fruitful? That's a question for you. Receive all the nourishment, and the nourishment we get is through our time of prayer, our time of fellowship, and our time of fellowship with the Lord through his word. Amen? Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. God, I just ask for every single one of these men, Lord, that are here with us. Lord, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that there would be a desire that would develop in all of us, Lord, to even be more fruitful than maybe what we have been. Lord, maybe for some of the men, they're just realizing, you know, I haven't been abiding. I haven't been connected closely to Jesus. It's been a distance between me and the Lord. God, maybe we're identifying the areas that needs to be pruned. Father, as men, I just pray, God, that we, Lord, would have our hearts in tune to you, that we would be in step with you. Guys, listen, if there's any of you right here today that you feel like, you know what, I need to just ask the Lord to prune this area. There's these areas of my life that needs to be cut back. Or maybe you're realizing that you haven't been abiding closely to Jesus as you should be. Whatever it is, if the Lord's just speaking to you right now as a man, and he's saying, hey, you have a desire now to lead more effectively your family, or maybe even lead more effectively your single life, whatever it is, and you want to yield to that, you want to make yourself vulnerable to the work and power and blessing of God's Holy Spirit right now, whoever you are, just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet right now. Amen. Anybody else, just stand to your feet. You know, I want to be more fruitful. There's things, there's areas. Anybody else? And man, don't trip. You might be thinking, man, I've been a Christian for 20 years. If I stand up, they're going to think I'm not as fruitful. Man, well, stop being, that's phony fruit. Stand up. It's all good. We ain't here to condemn or judge nobody. We're here to be a blessing to you. Any other of you men, you want to stand, I want to be more fruitful. Father, for the men that are standing right now, for whatever reason, Lord, for whatever purpose, Lord, for whatever's going on, they're making themselves vulnerable to the work and power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, by standing up, submitting and yielding, being exposed. Lord, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God, I pray for every single one of these men, Lord, that those, your pruning shears of your word would gently love them. Lord, love them enough to just cut away those things, and that you, God, would begin to nourish every single one of these men that are standing with your grace, with your mercy, with your love, and with your power of your spirit. Lord, we love you. I pray you do that, Lord, in all of these men. Now, as men, as all of us, why don't we all stand here today as men? Stand in allegiance to our Lord, submission to our Savior. And let's give him an offering of praise. A sacrifice. Let's give back to the Lord by lifting our voice in song.
I want to tag team with you here for a second, brother. We want to pray for you and the guys of New Hope. I went to bed late last night. It was almost midnight, and I decided, well, I'm going to get a jump on the Psalms that I read for tomorrow. So I read from Psalm 141, 142, 143, and I turned the page, and 144. Oh, that's too long. I'm not going to read that. I'm going to go ahead, go to sleep. So I turned it open over here. Listen to what this says. God said, you're not reading it last night. You're reading it this morning. This is for me. This is for me, Tommy. I think some of the brothers here too. David, the mighty warrior David, he said, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love. And these are all battle and defense terms. My fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield. And he in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under him. And then David has a pause and he says, oh Lord, what is man that you are, that you regard him, or the son of man that you think about him? He's just overwhelmed that God loves him and thinks about him, that he's his strength and he's his strong tower. And this last verse, it's verse 12, it says, and this is my prayer today. And I watched a couple. You see the two guys that walked out while you were preaching? You must have messed them up, buddy. I don't know. No, you didn't. You know what? They came by me. That was Sean and Dennis, father and son. Said, I got to go take my daughter to soccer. That was a brother doing what a dad does. You know, you're standing there with your, and listen to this. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, and our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. May our son, how many of you have that prayer for your sons and your daughters? May they be something in the hand of God. May they be something in their generation and not swirl down the drain with their generation. But may they rise above it and be a voice. And I want to pray that over Tommy and his brothers, his posse that came here with him today. I love you guys, Tommy. Thank you. How many of you guys got hit by the Lord today in his word? Yeah. Stretch your hands out this way and let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for my brother Tommy. I thank you, Father, for the mighty work you're doing in Santa Ana. I thank you for their patience as they've waited upon you, Lord. I thank you for the fact that you and your word, you say you will fulfill all of our purposes, and you will do that, Father God. I pray for an outpouring upon this wonderful fellowship, Father, Hope Alive. I just pray for such an outpouring upon them tomorrow as they gather. And Lord, I pray as they infiltrate their neighborhoods, Father, that there would be life and hope and freshness. And the same thing for us, God. We lift up our hands to you and we claim that word over our sons and our daughters, Lord God, that they would be mighty in this day and they would be godly in this day, and you'd show us how to lead them, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting us walk together this morning with our brothers from Hope Alive. Our hope is alive in you, Lord God, and we give you praise and glory, and anoint this brother as he brings a word tomorrow as he brought it here in Jesus' name. And all of Refuge with a war cry said, woo, amen, amen. Let's take this out in worship, yeah.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing it out, all my life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing the goodness of God. Love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful.
Come on, sing it out.
All my life you have been. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing the goodness of God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hey, right behind the tent back there is a sweet little 1964 Dodge Dart with push button transmission in it. Dennis drove that up from over in Lawndale. And so you might want to take a look at that. Wouldn't it be fun to have another car show sometime, you guys? Old bodies like our bodies. And hey, take some time today and soak in Psalm 144. Everybody say 144. Turn to your brother and say 144. Soak in it, stew in it, get it into you, and let's be men of strength and men of godly character. Grace and peace to you guys.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.